I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast for Game 9. It is Hobart and Buffalo State, Saturday, 1 o'clock at the Boz, joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ted.
Boy, football is such a final sport. I mean, in soccer, the top six teams make the tournament, and you're out there watching them stretch a chain at the end of a long afternoon, and overtime comes up a foot short, and that's it.
Game of inches sometimes.
So let's start at the beginning. As a Hobart fan, I hate this, but as just a sort of admirer, you have to admire the approach that Union took. They were just very bold. They kicked deep to your return man. It burned them on the opening kickoff. They took the ball first in overtime, which nobody ever does. So, I mean, there's no shortage of confidence there, and there was no shortage of confidence on your sideline either.
Yeah, we knew going in I think it was going to be two pretty evenly paced teams going at it, and they were going to come in confident. I mean, they've done really well over the last couple of years. They have a really senior-laden group on both sides of the ball, and I think teams, and we're similar, and teams that we've coached in the past have been championship-type teams. You're confident in your guys. You're confident in the process, and, they were going to do what they were going to do, we won the toss, so we chose to go defense in overtime, so they didn't do that one. But, throughout the game, no doubt, they stayed to their strengths, and we tried to match up with our strengths. And I thought it was a really good college football game from the outside perspective. If I wasn't watching it from my lens, just sitting back, I thought it was pretty evenly played back and forth, and no surprise that it came down right to literally right to the end.
Final possession of overtime, David Crewson running the ball a lot, which we haven't seen that much this year. Were those all called plays, or were there some reads there? What was the thinking on your part going into that OT possession?
It was a little bit of both. There's some of them that are basically we're reading certain defenders, choosing whether it goes. So the first couple plays are actually it was a choice between our running back and the quarterback based on how the defense was aligned and how they played David's initial couple steps. And I think what it did, it gave us the ability, and we talked about it earlier in the season, that David was a good athlete. We've chosen his spots in terms of some he's been able to, when a play's not there, create an extra play with his feet. Sometimes they're built-in called runs. Sometimes they're read adjustments based on the defense. But in that game, there was a combination of both set pieces called for him, and then there was other ones just, again, as teams have been trying to take away our running backs, almost dared David to run it a little bit more.
So going from the last possession to the first possession, they kick off deep. You get a Rayshon Boswell 80-yard return set up in the red zone and come away empty. I didn't see anything wrong with the kick. Did they just get some push on the line on the field goal block?
Yeah, this is the coach in me. That one burns. But we had some plays before that should have been executed at a higher level that we should have been kicking an extra point instead of a field goal. So that's on us. And then, unfortunately we had called the wrong protection. Just again, a slight mistake, made by one of our players and someone who we trust. And I think he made just, unfortunately the wrong call that gave them, maybe a different opportunity. They came in and made a play. And again, a situation at worst case scenario, hoping for 3 points. I thought we should have had 7 points there. And all of a sudden now we come away with no points. And that's just a microcosm of in a close game like that, you can't do that. And the chances of us getting the lead for our defense or not having to come down to, kicking that final field goal, little things like that, that all those many plays that happen beforehand as a coach that we talk about, we stress with our guys, we talk about situational football and the decision making that comes way before, that fourth down play in overtime. You never know how those plays earlier in the game could have changed the outcome. So we went back, and it's something we teach off of wins, we teach off a loss. I think this one's going to burn a little bit just because of the outcome, and we thought we had our chances. I think the championship mindset that we have is we're going to learn and grow from that, and I think there's some really key points in that game from literally the first play to the last play that we can teach and hopefully get better on as we learn and grow.
Another special teams play that hurt was the fake punt they ran for, I think, 34 yards. Was that something you had seen from them on film before and knew might be a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, the sad thing is we spent a lot of time on Friday. Throughout the week we talked about it, and we felt like they'd done it in the past. They did it in 2018 against us in a crucial situation. They did it in just other games. You kind of get a feel for certain teams where they might take some chances. And we felt like that was going to be a place that they did. And so we did talk about it. I thought we were prepared. When it comes down to it, then it's execution. And there they were able to execute a couple key blocks. We missed a tackle. And what could have been a really significant, it was 0-0, our defense was playing well, could have been a big stop, giving the offense back the ball at the middle midfield. Now they go down, and that led to their first points. So, again, I thought, and we talked about it on our Sunday meeting with our players, that that was a big 10 or 14-point swing with two special team plays. And credit to them, they executed, we didn't. And that's the that gut feeling. They've, you know, kind of left a couple plays out there that, again, our guys fought our way back, but could have been a better start to the game.
David Crewson was as good as he's ever been in the first half. He was 10 of 12, I think 156, was hitting the deep ball, and then 3 of 15 in the second half. What changed? Did they do things differently? Did he just get off his rhythm, or what happened between halves?
Yeah, I think it was a combination. I think they made some adjustments. And I think our guys made a couple, some nice catches for him in the first half. We got some guys open. In the second half, you know, partly the snaps, some of the protections, we had a couple drops mixed in there. So, you know, the stats are a little deceiving in that, and we saw that earlier in the year. But I thought David played a very complete and competitive game, gave us some situations to stay on the field, to execute. And, you know, he missed a couple throws, a couple of them were ones where we're, you know, in that last drive, we're trying to purposely get incomplete to kill the clock. So, again, some of the stats are a little you know, not necessarily as applicable to like the overall statistics, but I thought they also did a good job, as any good defense will do. We tried to make some adjustments to what we did. And in the first half, you know, we did some things, didn't score as many points as we would have liked. You know, obviously we talked about that first possession. So we actually used David's legs a little bit more than maybe his arm in the second half because of some of those adjustments. But again, yeah, it comes back to David gave us a chance, and I know he's a, you know, as a competitor, he wanted that last run back and, you know, a game of inches, but we wouldn't have been in that situation had he not made a couple plays before that.
And as a leader of your offense, I mean, when you see your quarterback out there throwing his body around in a big game, I mean, it has to lift everybody up.
Yeah, and I've been really pleased with his progression, you know, from where he was a couple of years ago as a young quarterback competing with Ryan Hoffman, and to where he, you know, matured this past year. And I think a lot of people have been really hard on him and the passing game as a whole. And, you know, in a big situation on the road at a, you know, a game where we needed to, he showed up and competed pretty well. So, you know, I'm proud of that. You know, the coach, you know, I work with him and the quarterbacks directly, and our standards are higher, and we know that there's no, you know, moral victories with in a defeat. But, you know, from a competitive standpoint, that's why I look at it. Are our guys always competing? When, you know, when the chips are going in our favor and when they're not. And I thought he has shown pretty good resolve in just some situations where he didn't necessarily, and our passing game was slower in the beginning of the season. I think we've taken some strides there, and that was a really good Union defense. And I don't think people realize it, you know, and you know, we've missed some points on our end. You know, I think we've challenged them as much as anyone, and that's the competitor in me knows that we left some things out there that, you know, congratulations on to them that they won the game, but I know deep down that we were right there, and it just shows, you know, the two games that we've come up short on right at the end. We've had opportunities to win. You know, we could be sitting here at 8-0 and having a different narrative than we are right now, and it doesn't change our process at all. It just knows that our standards haven't changed. If anything, they're just, you know, we've raised them even higher.
You could be, if you get a postseason bowl game as you did 2 years ago and win it, you could be 18-4 over 2 years and have no playoff spot to show for it. I mean, it's just, you know, and you know that. I mean, you know that's the way it is in your sport and in this league.
It really is, and I was talking to a friend of mine coaching a different sport, and just football is, I mean, when you talk about every play, every game matters, it really does. Our conference this year, I mean, we were going into last week with four different teams had a chance to win it, and literally one play either way, and it changes everything up. And, you know, I serve on a committee that's looking at our regional rankings, and there's some really, really good teams with one or some with two losses, and you could argue we're one of the best two-loss teams in the country. But it comes down to, in those close games, we didn't quite execute to the level of our standard and what we needed to, and that's where we have to get better, and we will get better as we move forward. But we still got a lot to play for. I told that with our guys. I mean, our goal was clearly to win our conference and advance in the NCAA playoffs. That's not going to be a realistic option for us right now, but There's still a lot of pride that comes into your performance, and we got to be able to not feel sorry for ourselves and make sure that we can reload and get back ready to go for this week and try to finish the season off on the right note.
I thought we saw progress out of the receiving corps. I mean, Reindeer Mullah made a tiptoe catch on the sideline. LaBella was getting open for the deep ball. And we forget how green a group that is, and with not 100% Shekile Matthews there, those guys are starting to come along.
Yeah, and I think that's been a combination of what we just talked about with David Crewson's development. I think all the receivers, and we had six or seven different receivers in the rotations thrown around, and I think of just the ability for all those guys. They're in a much better situation they are now at this point in the season than they were in the beginning of the season. So as we try to strive for constant improvement and development, I think that group has. And the exciting part is, if you really peel back the layers, is there's a long way for that group to go still. So that's the exciting part as a coach, realizing that most of those guys you mentioned are all going to be back, not even just for these next couple games, but for next season and in the future. Hopefully bodes well for the development of the passing game and the offense overall.
On defense, you really shut down Erebor early on, and then they went to a jumbo package where they were bringing in an extra lineman. How do you defend that out of a 3-4? I didn't see. Did you bring in a fourth D lineman at any point, or what do you try to do to counter that extra O lineman they brought in?
Yeah, I thought their staff and they were really committed to getting him going, and I thought early on our guys had a good plan. Our defensive coaches, we had a couple different packages. One, we brought in a fourth D lineman. Another one where we actually brought on an extra linebacker, which is probably our deepest position. And those packages were doing well. I think the difference is, it's like a heavyweight fight. There was a lot of body blows, and they had more size. It's a thing that we got to continue to work on between recruiting and strength, conditioning, and development is at the point of attack. Over time, if you notice those runs that were going for no yards or 1 yards early in the game, all of a sudden started to become 4 and 5 yard runs. And those hidden yards, I think he got his yards, but I think it was like 36 carries.
Yeah.
He earned every single one of those yards, and I thought our defense played really, really hard, tackled well for the most part, and again, they were bringing in some 6 and 7 O-line sets that they have the depth, and again, it comes back to their senior laden that a lot of those guys had played for a couple years. They had good size, but I thought it was a really good game plan that they were patient in the run, and then they were really opportunistic with the play action. And they had, obviously Ross is a very good receiver, got him open a couple of times. That really, as good as Erebor is, I thought we did a good job of kind of slow playing his ability to make significant plays. It was the one or two they got in the passing game that probably were the ones that hurt us the most.
And that's what I want to talk about next. You had Jared Leak on Ross some of the time, Mahoney some of the time. Obviously, with somebody else on the big play, he got the ball, broke a tackle, and scored. But how is that determined? Is there someone assigned to him, or is it depending on which package you're in, who gets to cover Ross in this case?
Yeah, so we do it a couple of different ways, and we had talked about it with the defensive staff of, do we match Jared Leak right now with him? That's something we have done in the past at times, and we did it at moments in that game. But I also think they're able to position Ross at a couple of different places. So you still, going back to what you said with Union doing what they do well, we want to do what we did well and make sure that there's still a built-in consistency and trust in the development of all of our guys. Mahoney made some plays. There's a couple plays I'm sure he wants back, and same with all of our corners. And then the one unfortunate play where they caught the ball on third and short, we were trying to stop the run and put our corner on an island. If you can come up and make that tackle, all right, they get the first down, but then we reload, and Ross is not your typical receiver. He's a really talented player, and he was able to make the guy miss and then go up the sideline 60-some yards, and that was a really tough blow at that point. The momentum was in our favor, and again, just any time either offense was working really hard, getting first downs, and when you can get a chunk play like that, it's not only to equal points, but it definitely swapped the momentum a little bit. But we trust our guys. Jared got called for a couple penalties, and so he wasn't perfect anyways, but I just think Ross is a really tough matchup. We trust our corners, and we got to – you can't just point fingers when things are going well. Sometimes you're going to give up a play, and I remember when I coached the DBs when I played it, and I know what our defensive coach is doing right now, is we're still in confidence in those guys that against whoever we're playing, we're going to trust our technique, trust the scheme, and make plays when they're there. And if you don't, all right, let's get up and let's reload for the next play.
Linebackers were flying all around as always. Brian Aguilar at 17 tackles. I haven't had a chance to look the last time somebody put up that number for Hobart, but it's probably been a while.
Yeah, it's because of the way we play our defense, typically, you know, you get someone in the 10, 12, 13 tackles. I also did not look to see when the last time that was, but Brian was especially flying around, and some of those, you mentioned some of the packages we adjusted. One of them was that extra linebacker package that kind of made Brian Aguilar the focus to kind of match him up with Urbor. So, you know, at the end of the day, I thought some of the things we did schematically helped, and, you know, Brian's a very, very good linebacker, and I think he gave us a good matchup when in open space trying to tackle EK, you know, that we had have someone that could, you know, match up with him. But I thought our defensive line played one of their better games, even though they were giving up some size and to the, you know, the strength of Union's offensive line. But I really believe that was a collaborative defensive approach, and it's unfortunate because, you know, if we can make one or two more plays offensively that I thought we could have, and we win that game late, all of a sudden now we're talking, you know, something else except for that, you know, that, you know, one or two plays that they were able to capitalize. But I think the yardage were even. I think the, you know, conversion percentages were pretty close. I thought that was a pretty evenly played game. You know, each team had a positive play or two, and special teams each had a couple they wanted back. And as it typically comes in a close game, it comes to who can finish and make a couple plays at the right times. And we did not, and they did. And unfortunately, that's the reality of it.
Buffalo State this week, obviously a struggling team, but they've got guys who can play. They've been in some games. Is their right guard really 6'8 and 400?
He is a big man. I haven't seen him in person, but I watched him on film, and they have a very, very big offensive line, and he's a big guy, but he's got some other big guys next to him. So that's the tricky part of it, and we've talked about it before. We don't look at records. When I watch film of them, what I see is some very good athleticism. They have size in certain spots, and yeah, the record might not be where they want it to be, but I tell you what, they're excited in games, and that usually tells me something. You watch film sometimes, you can see a team that might not be competing and playing. I don't see that with Buffalo State. And Buffalo State, they've done a really good job being competitive at times, and maybe they haven't converted and executed at the level they wanted to, but when I'm looking at their defense in particular, like, you wouldn't tell me that's an 0-8 defense. They're doing some really, really good things there. So I think the challenge for our guys is to make sure that they respond after a tough loss. And I think, again, just not getting caught up in the moment of looking at records and feeling sorry for yourself. But we're going to have to come out and play a tough opponent and expect it to be a physical game on Saturday.
If you do win out and finish 8-2, any idea at this point, would you get an extra game and play an E8 team in an ECAC bowl scenario?
We're not sure yet. We're kind of going through all those scenarios right now. I think our guys are hungry and want that opportunity. So if we can, I would like to make that happen for them. You know, the big thing we just talked about is let's focus on this week right now. And what we can't do is a couple things. We can't fall asleep and feel sorry for ourselves and not come out and perform. As you've seen throughout the year, at times we played really, really well, and at times we've kind of been a little stagnant. So I want to see if we can finish this thing the right way. But yes, if we have the opportunity to, I would love to not just for our seniors, but for this entire program with where we're going. I think we've been close to taking that next step to getting back to where I thought we could be and beyond. So anytime in our sport, and we talked about it, you know, 32 teams out of about 250 get in the NCAA playoffs. It's really, really rare. It's really, really special. I think in a lot of ways what we had done for so many years with Coach Craig and our staff and those consistent programs, I think it was 12 out of 15 years being in the NCAA playoffs, and the standard was so high that only people really appreciated how hard it was to truly get in the NCAA playoffs. And I think we did as a program and a staff. And, you know, I think that's one of the things when I came back and took over when Coach Craig retired, is to make sure that we're raising the bar, we're raising the standard. And yes, we're you know, in 2019, you know, finishing 9-2 with that bowl win was strong, and we were happy to do that. But that's not our goal, and that's not our standard. We're still trying to get back to that point. And I thought this team had the ability to do that. We've lost a couple of close games. We've won some close games. I think there's still a combination, and just talking about trust in the process. This is all about trust in the process. And I think this week, more than anything, is going to help us say, like, all right, let's get back on a horse after a tough loss. No one's feeling sorry for us. I know Buff State's not going to feel sorry for us. We have to make sure that we got to go earn those opportunities and make the most of those opportunities Saturday. So, yeah, I think if we can focus on this week and have a strong performance and then hopefully be able to finish the next two regular seasons in the right manner, then maybe we'll have earned that opportunity to get another postseason game, because even those opportunities are rare and are earned.
It's been a lot of fun to watch this group compete, whether it's for two or three more weeks. Best of luck Saturday, Coach. Appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate it.
Coach Kevin DeWall of the Statesman, this is our Hobart Football Podcast. You can, of course, follow Hobart Football on Instagram, @HobartFootball. Same thing on Twitter as well. And, of course, HWSAthletics.com for all your Hobart and William Smith sports news. Until next time, have a great football day.